ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome to Oprah.
On your Wednesday slash Sunday.
Slash Madunday.
Exactly. If you miss any part of Shock Therapy Live, man, we have so many archived Shock Therapy Live episodes.
Check them out.
Where we talk about anything and everything. In fact, today we decided we're going to play the Bee Gees and call it a day.
Because
we've already covered just about everything. So
I like that.
We'll see you guys next week. Coming up next, Middays with Mitch, an hour early. We'll see you guys later.
See you later.
What if we really did that? That would be...
Dude, that'd be great. Just Bee Gees for an hour.
An hour of the Bee Gees. Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't do that.
We could.
Or fortunately, an hour of the Bee Gees?
No, we literally could. It'd be a bad idea. We could do it.
You're kind of like the overseer, dude. You can, I mean...
Bee Gees. I mandate Bee Gees for an hour. Every Wednesday,
Bee
Gees.
Culture shock. I mean, it's obvious. We didn't even really need to talk about it.
I like that.
Oh, man. Hey, Nate.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
Good.
Yeah?
Good. I'm tired.
We had a good Shock Therapy Live last week. Your wife called in.
Yeah.
Talked a little bit about parenting and kids, and then afterwards I had a pretty extensive conversation with my wife about that very thing. So it was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting conversation.
Yeah, definitely interesting. So if you have questions... You can give us a call. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700.
My kid got in a prison fight last night.
Stop it.
No, well, not like a prison fight, but it was kind of like a prison fight.
Okay.
So we're at Chick-fil-A, and
it's kind of like prison.
It's already a good story, right?
Prison food.
So we're at Chick-fil-A because my son – so Tuesday night is women's ministry.
Okay.
Which means Tuesday night is the night that daddy takes the kids to fast food so that he can watch them play on a playground for 2 hours so that he doesn't have to chase them around. That's what Tuesdays are. So we go to Chick-fil-A. He loves the cow. He always wants to see the cow. So
okay.
We get some food. Then we go in the playground and start playing. Well, this little redhead kid comes into the playground.
Oh,
and
no.
He's a rubble rouser, man. He's
right.
Like, he's trying to just, you know, he's being mean. He's going up to the top of the playground and he's sitting inside the little tube so other kids can't get past.
Ugh. That kid.
And he comes down and he starts just kind of like pushing people. Well, so he pushes Seth, but Seth it like loves to wrestle. So he pushes Seth and Seth tackles him. And so they start to just wrestle. Like, and I don't want to stop it because I'm really enjoying watching it. There's
right.
Other parents inside the place and they're kind of looking at me like.
All of a sudden people are pulling out wallets like $5 on the ginger.
So they just start wrestling and wrestling and wrestling. And so Seth though, like this little kid is like, you can tell he's like just a bad kid. Like he's not laughing. He's just kind of like wanting to fight.
Like mad.
And Seth's like cackling like a hyena. He's like, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Just laughing and laughing.
So much fun.
And so this kid gets a little too rough, and he hurts Seth's foot. And Seth's like, ow, Dad, it hurts. And he comes over, and he comes talk to me. I'm like, Seth, if someone hurts you and picks on you, you've got to fight back.
Oh, no.
And so we're sitting there watching this kid. I'm like, Seth, go tackle him right now. And Seth just totally lays him out.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't do anything, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
the kid got back up and started getting too rough again. Seth started crying again.
Never mind. That's what my boys do every single day. I feel like we're constantly going, stop.
But afterwards, so.
Stop.
So this kid just got so rough and he was so mean. He was mean to all the other kids. So afterwards, we got in the car and we're sitting there with Katie and Seth. I'm like, Seth, I need you to understand something, buddy. If someone picks on you or picks on other kids, you got to stand up for them. You got to fight back. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, should I say that or not?
You know what? It's like 50-50, B. That's a big conversation that we have because there are those moms who would say, and I'm going to say moms, and forgive me because I don't know a single dad who would say, yeah, bro, no, you just tell him to turn the other cheek. It usually ends up being a dads versus moms thing where the dads are like, no, you stand up for what is right. And if somebody is picking on you and your friends, you go to the defense of the underdog, to the defense of those who cannot take care of themselves. And then there are others who would say no, because you're just instilling violence and, you know, you gotta, I will tell you right now, there was a bully at one point that was picking on my son Jack, and he didn't know how to handle it because he would not fight back. He refused to fight back, but he was getting picked on regularly because he stepped in for his friends, but then when he was standing there, realized, wait, I can't hit this kid because then I'm going to get in trouble. So just kind of took the beating, if you will. Huh. And I as a dad, it frustrates, because what you want to do is go to the school and go, hey, can I talk to the parents of that kid? And then go to the parents of the kid and go, hey, your kid's a bully. Tell him to knock his crap off, or I'm going to spank him.
Yeah.
And obviously you can't do that, because then you go to jail.
Dude, I was so mean to that kid last night.
See, and that's the thing is finally it came to a point where all of a sudden I was getting a phone call because Jack was sent to the office because he finally had enough. Enough was enough. This kid was throwing something at him and his friends, and Jack, in his, hey, I've played baseball for a few seasons and I was the quarterback on the football team, picked up the ball and threw it right back and knocked the wind out of the kid. My son's he's not a big dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he ended up getting in trouble and going to the principal's office for, you know, hitting back basically. So,
but he felt really good for a week.
But you know what? After that, the bullying stopped.
Yeah.
After that, there were no more problems. And so it's one of those situations of, okay, well, what do? Do you tell him to, just stand your ground? I tell him again, never, ever, ever do you pick on anyone.
Totally.
But on the flip side of that, if someone is picking on you, you know, they're both in sports and there are those teammates who just like to pick at people and try and, you know, rile you up. And at first it's like, don't let it bother you. If they're just saying stupid things, don't let it bother you. The second it gets physical and they're trying to hurt you, you defend yourself.
Yeah.
You take them down. So it's an interesting
it's an interesting paradigm. You know, I'm totally that dad though who wants to be involved. Like like this kid was just being mean to all the kids.
Right.
And so all the other parents that were in there were just kind of sitting there looking at him, and I stand up and I look at him like, hey, Wes, because I heard his name before. I was like, Wes, you're a bad kid. You better stop it. And he looks me in the eyes and he's like,
right.
And I'm like, you're being a bad kid. And if you don't stop, I'm going to pull you out of the play place.
Yeah.
And he's like, he didn't know what to do.
Right. Well, see, and that's the thing is usually it's a lack of parenting or an authority figure in their life. And so if it happens at Little League, I will stop it and go, if it gets out of hand, if they're just being kids, whatever. But the second it gets mean and people are starting to get hurt and crying type of situation, I will, if the coach, and usually coaches, they'll jump in right away, but I will get involved and say, hey man, what makes you think it's okay to hit somebody with your bat? Would you want somebody to hit you with the bat? No? Okay, well then knock it off. And unfortunately, there's just those kids that doesn't affect them, and they're like, I don't care. You know, you're not my dad. And those are the
That's
kids
why
that
I carry just a little airsoft gun and just a couple of pops.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Static! Hello.
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 I was actually going to step in because you said that usually the moms don't want to tell their kids to they tell them to step down.
Right.
And it is my husband that says turn the other cheek, and I said, no, he has to fight.
Right.
And so that he doesn't become or get bullied himself.
Yeah, and you know what? The funny thing is, in our home, it wasn't necessarily my wife saying no, no, no. My wife was more of the. It depended upon the situation, but she's very much so an advocate for our children learning conflict resolution. Because if you as a parent are constantly just stepping in and constantly taking care of the situation for them, they'll never learn conflict resolution at all. If it gets to a point where somebody's being hurt, though, and this kid's like kneecapping people, you got to step in and take care of. So
that's what was happening last night. So we're in the play place, and And this kid, I can tell, is getting rough. And so I sit there and I say, Seth, tell him to stop. Say it hurts. Say, please stop. And Seth says, stop. Stop, please. And the kid's just still pushing him and being really mean. I'm like, Seth, if it's getting too rough, you say, stop, please. I don't want to wrestle. And he said it a few times. And then finally he got free. And he's like, Dad, he wouldn't stop. He's hurt me. Right. And that's when I was like, okay, you got to fight back for yourself. Go tackle him. You know what I mean? Like, if he's not going to stop, then you show him you don't mess with me.
Amazing. Oh, man. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I am like, no, go ahead and beat him up.
Militant mom.
It's hard to condone. Like, I don't know. There's such a fine line.
Yeah.
Because when does your kid become the bully?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you know, it's one of those things. I think even in the vernacular that we say to our kids, you know, I think that you don't want your kid to become the kid that kids fear. You want your kid to become the kid that, like, the kids who get picked on look to as, like, their hero. Like, oh, man, he'll protect me. Like, you know, you want that element, you know. You don't want to be, again, you don't want to be the bully, but you definitely want to stand up for what's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically, you want to teach your kid to be Batman. Can we teach our – hey, son, can you just be Batman?
Right. You stand up for the oppressed. You stand up for – yeah, I don't know.
I could totally see my son hiding in the shadows and jumping out and punching a bully.
Yeah.
Then getting beat up and running away.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
Hey, what's up, dudes?
Hey!
Hola.
I just think, man, I think, Nate, man, I hear you 100% because, you know, as a father – and Steve-O, you know, as a father – you know, I'm super active. I love to go and play with my kids, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But consistently, I just think it's an interesting relationship between what we're looking at in responses to these social situations, but, you know, and the direct correlation to parenting. I mean, we're looking at the kids trying to say, hey, guys, but it's the apathy that I see consistently in these public venues, whether it's, you know, I'm not going to name a bunch of names, but, you know, trampoline places or public parks I had a similar situation where I saw my 4-year-old sliding down the slide and he was actually walking down the slide and a kid just walks up, takes his arms and hits his feet out from under him.
Oh my gosh.
And my son comes off his feet flat to his back, flies down to the end of the slide, he's hit his head, and he just, and I witnessed that, and what I mean by apathetic, you know, parenting is just, I'm looking around, everybody saw it, all the parents are there, and I'm waiting for this kid's parent to do the right thing, to take their feet, walk over, let's have a talk about how we treat other people and how we want to be treated.
Yeah, totally.
And it never took place to the point where, you know, I looked at Jack and I'm like, you know, dude, no, this is not all right. And I got up because I'm not going to let it slide.
Totally.
So at that point, it's that catch 22 where I'm thinking, man, if you as a parent approach me right now, you've almost given up your right to engage this situation.
Totally.
You know, because you sat right there and just watched it pass by. So I had to walk up to the kid and say, look, son, like, you're not my boy, but I'm going to tell you right now that that is not how you get things done.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to treat my kid like that or this guy or any of these other kids like that. So if I need to put you in a timeout, I'm going to put you in a timeout.
I would have liked
to see
that.
You know what I mean?
Can I sign up to see that happen?
And that was pretty much, you know, but I mean, this isn't the first time that we've had a situation where, you know, what's unfortunate about it, man, is that I feel awkward to have to engage that social situation and start parenting somebody else's child.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing you want to do, but it's like at the same time, you know, and I've had that same discussion with Jack, and I'm like, dude, at the moment that it became physical, you've got a green light.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell him, you know, don't defend yourself. If somebody else initiates physical contact with you, clean their clock, bro, and we'll work it out later.
Totally.
You know, because in a social, all too often today, just because we're Christians and we love people and we want to help and we want to be in a loving manner, doesn't mean we have to lay down and be abused. And, you know, and I think that that's a gnarly topic, you know, because at times it's like, dude, I'm looking at people in the situation and I've got somebody screaming in my face. Dude, I'll sit there and say, sorry, and I love you, dude, and I don't know what your problem is today, all you want. But the moment that you put your hands on me, potentially become a life-threatening situation or me getting home to my family or not, you've got a whole new situation with me.
Yeah,
totally.
And it's going to escalate, and it's going to become physical. If you get physical with me, you better believe, dude, that I'm not going to walk away from you.
Dude, what is it with public places? Because I find the exact same thing at parks, at any place, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, otherwise, there's always those kids that their parents clearly have no bearing on their lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it blows my mind. We were at McDonald's the other day and our kids are playing and there's this random kid who starts coming into the kid's face and just going, rawr! And growling in their face and like yelling at him. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I could not believe this.
Yeah, but did you see Rise of the Planet of the Apes when the monkey got put into the like cage with all the other ones? It's just, maybe it's just this primate, like, I gotta prove that I'm the biggest ape on the playground.
Well, this is the thing. When I'm in there, I'm the biggest ape on the playground. And I'm gonna show you that real quick. So I'm not that parent to sit down either. So I get up in his face and I'm like, hey, you better stop growling at people or I'm going to take you out of this play place and put you out with all the other parents.
Wow.
And I just kind of get in his face. And then because I saw that his mom was over outside, like in the parents' area, she wasn't in the playground. And so I get up and I go out there and I say, hey, I want you to let you know that I just scolded your son because your son's growling at kids and I don't think that's okay. Yeah. So I let him know that he shouldn't do that. But if he does it again, I think you should step in.
What'd she say?
She was like, oh, okay, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, dude. And so here's the thing that I notice routinely, the absentee parenting. So, dude, just because I took you to a playground, now I can just, like, you know, do whatever else. And they're texting, and they're down on their phone, and they're in their social media sites, and they're not even watching their children.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and then I've got the little girl who's trapped up in the top of the McDonald's Playland crying her eyes out because she can't figure out how to get out of this maze, and she's way too little to be up there in the first place, totally unattended. And I'm up there, and I'm not the biggest guy, but dude, I have no business being in a Playland tube tunnel at this stage of the game. You know, my knees are like, dude, what are you doing? This is not working. But there I am. I'm rescuing the kid in diapers that's screaming her head off, sliding down the slide with her as careful as possible, and giving her back to her mom and dad. And you're looking at him going, dude, it's not a green light just to look the other way, bro. Yeah. You know, this isn't, you know, so yeah, it's pretty gnarly, man. But anyway, that was my 2 cents. You guys have a great day. Love you guys.
You too, man.
Bro. Good old Shane.
Man, it's such an interesting topic, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, to your point, too, you want to be involved, but you don't want to, like, solve every conflict and every issue.
Exactly.
With those kids.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Chrissy, you know, she's a principal of a school. She's the executive director of the New Mexico, I always get it wrong, Early Childhood Education Association, something like that. Childhood education, whatever. And so she has some knowledge behind her, under her belt. She is wise in the area of raising up a child.
Totally.
And how you do that in our words. And I think a lot of times it really does come down to kind of crappy parenting or not being involved. And we have to be careful of everything we say. Now, I will say this on the flip side. I think a lot of parents pulled the turn the other cheek. And, well, man, think of Jesus in the garden. When they came to arrest Jesus and that dude pulled out the sword, it was like, hey, stay your hand. And he wouldn't raise a fist to those. But we're talking about our Lord and Savior who is going to the cross
for us.
Yeah. There was a purpose behind why he did not.
And you got to understand, too, what this kind of behavior of kids who act like this and never get punished, what it leads to. It leads to people being criminals, you know? And so I'd love to see that parent who says, turn the other cheek, have their house get broken into and have a man there with a gun and have that wife or that husband tell the spouse, hey, turn the other cheek, just let them kind of do what they want.
Right. And see,
it's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
There's a huge difference. Absolutely. Because even as we talk about turning the other cheek, it was these backhanded slaps, basically. It wasn't physical violence. It was those who are insulting you, throwing insults your way. So if somebody's insulting you, okay, whatever, turn the other cheek. We're talking about physical harm at this point.
Yeah.
And that was, as we're talking about Jesus Christ and the way that he lived his life on this earth, he stood up for the oppressed, for the underdog, for those who couldn't stand up for themselves. And he did not allow those to be picked on by the religious right, if you will, by the Pharisees, by those that were taking advantage of the poor in spirit and saying, you got to do it this way, you got to worship this way, you got to buy our doves, you got to do this and that. And Jesus got pissed. And he flipped tables.
He whipped
tables,
him.
And he,
he
yes,
beat him with a whip.
Boom. And
which,
so,
again, I would have liked to see.
Right. So there are definite, I think there are two different situations we're talking about here. Because if a kid is getting physically, you know, punched or whatever on a playground, and you tell him, hey, just turn the other cheek. Just allow yourself to get the crap kicked out of you.
Especially, like, for us, like, you know, my son Seth has a little sister. And so
right.
I tell Seth, on like, quite frequently, I say, Seth, if you ever see anyone hurt your sister,
absolutely,
I want you to hurt them.
I make it a point to tell Jack when they're on the play, if they're on a playground together, or something, that exact thing. Hey, this is your brother. This is your family. This is your blood. Do not allow anyone to pick on you. To, you know, if somebody's saying something stupid, walk away. You
and
don't
so,
have to
see,
engage
I
them.
I think that's part of the reason why I have a hard time too, is because my kids are both so young, and so I have this tendency to step in right now because, like, Seth, he's at an age where, like, you know, that kid growling, it scares him, and he starts crying, run down, Dad, that kid growled at me.
Right.
And so, and then I find that when something like that happens, then it carries on to him that, like, then we get home and he's growling at his sister and me. And so part of it is he's at this age where I feel the necessity to step in. So do you feel like there's a certain age that a kid's reached a certain age, then it's like time for them to start handling their conflicts and their, you know, issues on their own?
More and more Jack and Luke are handling conflict on their own. Even if they're arguing upstairs, it used to be if I could hear them upstairs arguing, I was immediately like, what's going on? He took my Legos and this. And I'm like, and all of a sudden I become Judge Judy and I'm like handing it down the
law. Cut the Lego in half.
Yes, right? And more
no!
and more.
Now, don't cut it. He could have it.
And chances are, if I hear him arguing upstairs, then I have them resolve it. There's a rule. If one of you gets hurt because you're say they're wrestling, they're screwing around doing something, and one of you gets hurt, both of you are going to be in trouble. To a point where if somebody gets the wind knocked out of them or something, it's like, okay, just suck it up, bro. We're going to be good. We're going to get through this. And they're a team. So I do think there's a certain point. If your kid's 4 years old and he's on a playground and some bully's pushing him down the slide and being physically abusive to him, man, you absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you're the parent and your children need to know that they will always be safe with you, that you will always take care of them. You always protect them. And yes, there are things that they need to resolve on their own. But when it comes to physical harm?
Yeah.
Oh, bleep no. You do not harm my children. Yeah,
that's why I carry a bullwhip around.
Thank you, Indiana Jones. We're going to go to line two. Static!
Hey, what's up?
What
How's
up?
Everybody doing over there?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I wanted to make a comment, obviously, about the kid thing. First of all, I feel like when we conflict resolution, all that, that's great. But at the end of the day, we have to teach our kids a sense of justice.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? And I feel like as a society, we're taking that away from our children by constantly sort of dumbing things down and babying them. And in school, it's like if a kid fights back against a bully, you know, he's in trouble.
He gets in trouble, right.
And what does that teach that kid? That it's okay to bully, it's not okay. You know, and there's no sense of justice there.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know? And then we wonder why they aren't afraid to commit a crime, or they're not afraid to, you know, go out and be bullies as adults, because there was no justice as children, and why would there be justice as an adult?
Totally. And there's this sense in all of us of loving justice. I mean, who doesn't love that YouTube video of that French guy who, like, steals a purse and runs through a mall, and that guy roundhouse kicks him into the face and knocks him out? Every one of us watches that and says, yes, that should happen all the time.
Right.
It's innate. We're born with this sense.
Yeah.
A desire for justice. So I wanted to say that, but I also kind of wanted to change gears a little bit if I could. Is that cool?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I grew up in the church. I was actually a pastor for 10 years. I recently got married, but while I was a pastor, I really struggled financially. Like a lot of pastors do, I think. Especially in smaller churches and smaller towns.
Right.
And, so my folks are both, extremely religious. My mom's like a full-time missionary. She goes all over the world, all that stuff. Well, while I was a pastor, my parents helped me a lot with money. And well, now I've got sort of a different job and I'm married. My wife's a professional. We make really good money. And another part of this is my dad works with, my dad's boss is my wife's father. And every time we go and spend any kind of we just bought a Wii. A Wii U, which I'm not sure how you guys feel about that, but that's what we just bought.
Our boys have a Wii U. I personally have a PS4, so you're talking to the wrong guy.
I don't have any of them.
Yeah, he doesn't have any
of them. Well, I'll say it was for my wife. My wife wanted it. So yeah, anyway. So he goes into, so my dad goes into work and is like, well, I don't know where they're getting all this money from, and and then it gets back to us, you know, and I'm like, dude, you know, and I don't know what to do about it because I love my pops, and I don't owe him any money. You know, I made sure to reimburse him for everything that he's ever given me, but I'm like, you know, I don't know if it's disrespectful for me to just be like, pops, you gotta, and I talked to him about it before because, I mean, we have a really close relationship, but it just keeps happening.
It keeps happening where he's making cracks about the way you spend your money?
Yeah, through my in-laws.
Oh, man.
Yeah, at work.
All right. Well, we're talking about justice. You go, you kick your dad in the knee. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
You know, I tried that. He's got better. It's crazy.
He had a knee replacement, so his metal knees was kind of like RoboCop.
Then, and then he was like, I don't have any money because I had to pay for all these medical bills.
Right. Apparently they could build him and make him faster or something. I don't remember. It was in the 70s.
Nicely done. So basically it's the idea of wanting to confront your father on this. And you've already talked to your dad about this in the past?
Yeah, I have talked to him about it in the past. And you know, he's my dad and I love him. And you know, he's sort of my, you know, he's my hero a little bit. And so it's hard for me to fault him, you know?
Well,
I'm sure Nate understands that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have my dad, though, ever going to, like, I don't know. I think my dad respects my privacy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So, and well, that's the thing, too, is during all of that time, like, that I was a pastor, there was really no privacy between us because they were members of our church. And, you know, and I say, you know, I wasn't like a, when I say I was a pastor, it wasn't like, you know, I preached every Sunday to the large congregation, and my dad sat on the board, which was kind of weird. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, sorry. I don't know. There's never really been that respect for privacy.
Right. And now here you are. Let me just ask you bluntly. Would you say you're financially responsible with your money right now?
Absolutely.
You budget. You've been through Dave Ramsey's financial piece. I'm just kidding.
Dude, I could teach Dave Ramsey's financial piece
yes!
at this point.
Yes! Boom! I feel you. I love it. I love it. But, okay, so here's the thing. Obviously, if you do not owe your father anything, you talked about the idea that you've already paid him back everything, that you're a financially responsible individual. And you do need to have that conversation because what business is it of his how you spend your money? Obviously, you are providing for your family. You're taking care of everything financially. And if this is something that you want to bless your children with, to provide them with a cool video game system, whatever, I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, and even so, you know, there comes an element that even if you're not, you know, at this point, if he's not giving you money, he doesn't have a say in how you spend your money. So it's one of those things like, look, if I go choose to buy 5 PS4s and put one in every bedroom, that's none of your business.
Right, as long as everything's taken care of. But I will say this on the flip side. My boys, they have jobs like, you know, Dave Ramsey says that there's no allowance. They have jobs, and if they do their jobs, if they get paid for their jobs, and so they take care, they have the spending, they have the savings, and they have their tithe jars, and so they do that. They save their money, they spend their money, and there are times where they save their money for this big item that they want. And my son's birthday was recently, and he came across, I mean, he ended up after saving money and all the, he had a couple $100s. And it was like, he wanted this Lego set, this $200 Lego set that he's been saving for like a year plus for this Lego set. And then for me, I'm like, that's $200 for a Lego set. And as a father, I was like, dude, are you sure this is, and I didn't want to talk him out of it because it's what he's been saving for. And it was like the reward of his hard work. But there was part of me as a dad that was like, man, that $200 could be better spent on.
Did he get the Lego set?
Oh, of course he did.
Does he still love it?
He loves it.
There you go.
I mean, he's got a little like Lego shrine of Arkham Asylum. He bought the entire Arkham Asylum. It's got Batman and Robin and Poison Ivy Lake minifigs and like all these crazy minifigs. And it's his favorite thing in the world. And I could not. I tried. I'm like, bro, you have enough for like an iPod. You have enough for like a Nintendo 3DS if you want.
You could go get some cocaine.
You could go. There are so many options.
Goodness.
There are so many options, 8 year old. Are you sure you want this? You want to spend all of your money on this Lego set? And he was absolutely sure that's what he wanted. No regrets. And it was like, Okay, then. And I ordered it for him online, and we bought him that Lego set, and he has had zero regrets about it. But as a father, I understand, like, wanting your kids the best for your kids, and parents are always going to think they know what's best for their kids. So there's part of that that comes into play where your dad maybe is just wanting the quote unquote best for you, and with his generation, they probably didn't spend money on video game systems. He had Pong.
Yeah.
And
it's
like,
right,
what's Pong? That's crap. And so maybe he just doesn't see it. And so I don't know. There could be a loving conversation you could have.
Yeah, that's totally the deal. Like there's no doubt in my mind he wants the best for me, but
right.
at some point it's like, dude, stop telling my in-laws that I'm spending money.
Right.
Side note, when did Legos get so stinking expensive, first of all?
Like, I don't know. When the Lego movie came out and they made $70 million and said, you know what, we can spend a lot more money, or we can make people pay a lot more money for Lego sets than we used to.
This is wrong.
There's
this
a glitch in the Matrix right
Which,
now.
Which, FYI, if you didn't see the Lego movie, that movie's hilarious and amazing.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Oh, dude, it's fantastic. But I grew up a Lego kid, so I mean, I love
it. The bucket of Legos like every other kid did in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have a set.
Yeah.
See, I hated Legos.
Oh, I loved them. Are you kidding me?
I hated them.
You have no creativity.
I hated them because...
I don't know. You need to talk about Lego hate on Theology Thursday.
Right,
it's got to
be
in the Bible.
What does this
mean? That's not right.
Right.
So, but that's kind of more of a tomorrow topic.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
you know
there you go.
Kind of more of a tomorrow topic.
There's a way to approach your dad and say, man, I know you love me. I know you want what is best for me. And I know that you think that you know what is best for me. However, for my children, I wanted to provide them with something. And just as you love me and want the best for me, I want the best for my kids. And right now, that Wii U
is
for my kids.
I wouldn't even approach her from that subject.
His dad is talking trash to his boss, which is his father-in-law, and that's awkward.
No,
you freaking approach it.
No, I'm saying you don't approach it like that.
Oh, okay.
Hothead. Holy crap.
It is awkward.
Dude, he's like roiding up in here. His veins are popping out of his forehead.
All right.
He's going Bane status in here.
Oh, I did.
No, so, but I don't think it deserves an explanation. I think you tell him, I think you say, look, what I spend my money on for my family doesn't concern you.
Yeah.
And I'm not borrowing money from you. The money I've borrowed from you before I've paid back. What I spend money on for my family isn't your business. And you don't have any business talking about it or telling other people about it. It's my family. It's our money that we've earned, and you don't have a say in it. I don't think you need to give an explanation for why you bought the Wii U. I don't think there's a necessity to explain yourself.
No,
for
it's
that.
Not a necessity. Mine just seems less angry. You sound like a jerk. Hey, Dad, I know you raised me and you gave me all this money. None of your bleeping business, bruh! It's money!
See, you're roiding out again.
I roided out. Sorry, I can't help it. So you just lovingly go, hey, Pops, I love you, man. I love you. You're amazing. Thanks for caring about how I spend my money. No business.
I'm going to go somewhere in the middle there, honestly.
There you go. That's why we do this show together, all right?
Yeah.
It's balanced. You guys are a wonderful married couple. I want you to know.
We really are.
You guys,
our kids are hella confused.
You should see us kiss, man.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Y'all keep on.
All right,
later, man. Hey, why am I like having a glitch in the Matrix here?
I don't know. There's a glitch in the Matrix.
I don't know. It's like showing me like I feel like I'm getting some hidden code that like Morpheus is going to talk to me in a second.
That's weird. Morpheus, which we all know, played by Samuel L. Jackson. No? Okay. Moving on.
That was really funny, that interview.
That was incredible.
Great.
If you missed it, Samuel L. Jackson had an interview on national television, and the interviewer mistook him for Lawrence Fishburne for a second, but it was long enough for Samuel L. Jackson to go off on a rant about how not all black people look exactly the same.
And now he's the black guy.
He was mad.
He's the black guy from What's in Your Wallet. He's the What's in Your Wallet black guy.
I'm the What's in Your Wallet black guy, not to be confused with Morgan Freeman, the other credit card black guy, but you just hear his voice. I mean, he went off on a rant.
It was pretty great.
I felt so bad. I was uncomfortable for the dude.
Oh my gosh. Imagine being that guy.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, man.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. It's Shock Therapy Live.
Do we still have the call on line one?
We don't. If you'd like to call in, the phone lines are open. We got an email question that actually pertains to kids. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back, we will answer that. If you have questions, comments, concerns, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, if you'd like to keep it anonymous.
Yeah.
Or call us up. Tao's in the other room, our wonderful producer. 505-338-3700.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk? Wait, never mind. Wrong show.
Shock Therapy Live. Static.
Attention, Santa Fe. Beginning Sunday, February 2nd, Calvary Santa Fe will offer a second worship service and change its service time. Service times are now 9:30 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. on Sundays. Be sure to let your friends and family know about this new opportunity for upreach, inreach, and outreach. For details, log on to calvaryabq.org/Santa Fe.
This is The Wire.
Free concert alert! And it's going down at Hoffmantown Church. Doors open at 5:30, but the entire party starts at 6 p.m. on February 19th. Chad Spriggs Band and Hidden by the Light will be opening up for Cloverton. So be there or be square. And in this case, square is bad. Do not be square.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mysteticradio.com.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
Now, we got to press this a little bit further. How did we get to be sinners? What's up with that? When did that happen? Was it when I turned a teenager? Is that it? My parents may have thought so. Now, you got to go back further than teenage years. How about two? When you turn two, you know, the terrible twos? Is that when, wow, that's when the sin nature manifests itself? No, you got to go back further than that. How about birth? Was it when I was born? No, actually, you have to keep going further back all the way to your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam. We're part of that family. We're part of the Adams family. We have that nature.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig, or hear more when you subscribe to his podcast at skipheitzig.com/podcasts.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Stupid Theology Thursday answering all my questions. I'm going to beat Brian up in the office.
Tomorrow you don't have to worry about it because we're not answering any questions unless your question happens to be how old is the Earth? We're going to actually finally find an answer for that.
Dude,
it's gonna be interesting.
I'm gonna go corner Brian like in the bathroom in the pastor's room. Yeah. Be like, hey, you're answering my questions on Shock Therapy. What gives, bro?
Yeah, tomorrow it is a full on debate. Brian Nixon in the old Earth corner and Jarrett Petro in the new Earth corner. We will see who.
I didn't know that they had different views.
They do.
Are they just pretending to have different views for the
debate? No, not at all. So it's going to be full on. They both, at the end of it, they both fully believe that God created the heavens and the earth. One believes that we're about 10,000 years old. The other one believes we're a gajillion years old. Gajillion.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe not a gajillion, but maybe billions. It's going to be interesting. We talked about it
last
week.
I didn't know
week.
Brian had an old earth view.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
Dude, I'm totally going to beat him up in the bathroom now. Answering Shock Therapy Live questions, saying the Earth is a gajillion years old. He's gonna get the wind knocked
it's
out of him.
It's gonna be interesting,
in
to say the least. With all the Ken Ham versus Bill Nye the Science Guy stuff that went on with the creation debate, we thought we'd get a couple Christians in here with differing views to talk about their views and how biblically we can take a look at science and what Scripture has to say. And it's gloves are coming off. Jarrett's already come back here with his ideas and said, hey. And I'm like, hey, Benix beat you to it. He sent us like 17 articles to read already about it.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. Benix is like, he's crazy.
He's crazy smart. And so you tend to just side with him because it's like, well, it's Brian Nixon. So I believe it. He was talking about like at the beginning, what looks like to us the Big Bang. It was actually a unicorn that fired a rocket out of
pooped
its
out of its
laser.
Butt. It pooped the Earth out of
it
its butt.
It was crazy. And so that's why, that's the rainbow. That's why, because obviously we know unicorns poop rainbows.
Yeah.
So very rare, very rare. But that's the sign in the sky, you know.
What about the narwhal? Kind of like a unicorn of the sea.
It's going to be an interesting conversation tomorrow, that's for sure. So make sure you tune in for Theology Thursday.
If a unicorn poops rainbows, a narwhal poops tsunamis.
Facebook.com/MySaticRadio. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig joining me. If you have questions, comments, we've been talking a little bit about raising your kids, how to handle your kids being bullied.
Yep.
And we got another question from a parent, actually.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the how to talk to them about bullies, but...
It's about transgender bullying.
It is a very different question.
Yeah, let's take it.
Sure.
All right. Shock Therapy Live.
Here we go.
My son is 4, about to be 5. Knowing the different age and time of this generation, how do you know when the best time to talk about girls and all that, dude?
Best time to talk about girls and all that. How old is Seth now?
Seth is 3.5.
He's 3.5. Okay. So obviously you probably have not had the birds and the bees conversation.
No.
Okay.
I think it would scare him.
Yeah. Or he just wouldn't understand.
Or he'd want to do it because he doesn't understand what it is.
Yeah.
He'd say, I want to do it.
I will say this. With siblings, Jack and I have not necessarily had... line one is his wife. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Oh, man.
Should we just bring her into the conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
Hey, yo.
Welcome.
Hi. I really am not calling for to give input. How messed up is that? But... your daughter wanted to say something, so
oh,
I
man. Okay, good. This is the perfect opportunity. We were talking about when we talk to
when
our children.
When we talk to our kids about sex.
Okay. Yes, so put her on.
What do you say, Katie? Who is it?
Hello.
Tell her.
Hi, Cadence. I have to tell you about the birds and the bees.
Yes. So, when a man loves a woman. When a man... Here, let me get the music. Okay. I believe in you.
Okay, so Cadence. About... 2 years ago,
don't
your
do this.
Mommy
your dad
and daddy
is going to destroy us.
What was she trying to say to me?
We love you, Cadence.
Ow.
Oh, she's I love
still
you.
So sweet. Thanks, Cadence.
He just kissed you.
Aww.
He gave kisses. She heard you on the radio.
That is beautiful.
Aww. Okay, I got to answer.
We got to answer
theological questions.
Get to it.
All right. Thanks, Janae. We love you.
Love
oh,
you
yeah.
guys.
All
right. Hey, tell our daughter about the birds and bees. See,
okay,
this is the thing.
Really.
She's so young right now, Janae could tell her and she'll never remember.
And exactly
then Janae could say, I
to
told
say.
You. I told you about it. It's not my fault you didn't remember.
We were talking to a couple different quote-unquote experts from Fox. One was from the BBC News. One was from, I believe, Fox. And we had them on talking about this very thing. My son's 10, my oldest. Luke is 8. And so it was like, well, do I talk to them separately? How do I have this conversation? And they were saying, you know what? With kids, a lot of times, they're going to take in what they're going to take in, and whatever else is that is quote unquote above their heads, it's just going to go above their heads, and they're
yeah.
not going to. So me and my boys, we don't have separate conversations. It's not like a
yeah.
Jack's 10, so I definitely need to talk to him and get a little, you know, grittier about it than I do with Luke. We just have dude time and we conversate about it openly between the three of us. And if Luke is just kind of checked out and doesn't understand something and Jack's clued in, right on, and at least Luke is still there so that when it kind of connects, he can start asking, okay, wait, you talked about this before.
So I have the foolproof method for how to do this.
Oh, no.
Once a year, just read your kids the entire book of Song of Solomon.
There you go.
And if they ask questions, you know they're ready to talk about it. If they just kind of say, okay, that's...
But what does he mean by mountains?
What are
mountains?
Yeah, what does that mean? What is a breast? When they start asking those questions, then it's time to talk about it.
Yeah, I would say
so right now,
four
when I,
is a
right,
little young.
Right now when I read Seth Song of Solomon, he's like, oh, deers, that's cool, I love deers. So I know he's not ready.
There you go. I mean, you know, we joke, but 4, in my opinion, I mean, this is just coming from me. There's no like, Ezekiel chapter 4 says when a child is 6 years old. No. So it's not a biblically speaking. This is just dadly speaking. 4 years old, almost 5, is still pretty young.
Yeah.
Very young. However, on the flip side, you look at statistics, and if you're not guarding your child by the age of 8 years old, they say a good percentage of children have viewed some form of sexual act, pornography,
because our culture just shows it so much.
Yeah.
So the other day we were just watching ice skating, and it seems like the clothes they're wearing in ice skating are getting less and less on the Olympics. It's
right.
like they're practically naked.
It's for
naked.
Aerodynamics.
Well, so my son's watching. He's like, Daddy, I like that girl. And I was like, why do you like that girl? She's naked. And she wasn't. She wasn't naked, but she was, you know, she was wearing like ice skating clothes. And so there's this element of him obviously knowing. He doesn't really look at her and say, oh man, that turns me on.
Right.
He's 3 years old.
He
does get this idea of nakedness and nudeness and, you know, that girls are supposed to be pretty. And so there's this element of understanding that just from, you know, the culture that we live in and just from, you know, commercials and ads. And I mean, it's just everything is so sex driven in our culture that I think kids are hearing about this at a younger and younger age.
I talked to my boys. We have not had the actual quote unquote birds and the bees conversation. My children have an understanding of what sex is, what it produces, reproduces them. I did not get explicit on it. I did talk about beauty. I did talk about, what the world views as beautiful, because they see Miley Cyrus running around half naked and they think it's, you know, Jack freaked out with the Wrecking Ball video. He's never seen it, but he knew because somebody told him at school that she's not wearing any clothes. And he's like, that's gross. And I said, well, to the world, they view that as, I mean, that's great seeing that. But Jack, these images, we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our minds. We have to guard our, as men, we're very visual. Let me show you what God says is beautiful. And so we take it to Proverbs chapter 31 and show this is a woman.
Show them pictures of Amish people.
Amish people.
This is what we think is beautiful.
Churning butter. This is what is beautiful. Butter churners. But
cover
really,
your
we
head.
take them to Proverbs 31 regularly and say, man, this is beautiful. This is amazing. This is what we are to desire. And this is what, man, a woman who fears the Lord, you know, it's so important that we are locked into our relationship with God, and it is so important that someday these are the things to be desired because these are the most beautiful things. And they know mommy and daddy love each other, and we don't, you know, we're not like, I don't know. 4 to 5 years old is so young.
Yeah, you know, and it's just hard, you know, and I think it just kind of comes up naturally. Like, so, you know, we ran into this situation with, you know, Seth and Katie, when we changed Katie's diaper. At one point, Seth looked at Katie and he said, penis. And we're like, no, Cadence doesn't have a penis.
Right.
And then the question comes like, what do we call it? I mean, do we just say Cadence has a vagina and use the real, I mean, like, what, like, do we come up with like a kid name for it? Like, that's her hoo-hoo? Or,
no,
I mean, like,
because then that's, and you know what? And that's one thing that we read that you don't, because if you take away the curiosity and the mystery behind it and you're just like, here's what it is scientifically, this is what it is, then they go, okay, and that answer is acceptable because when you start giving it cute little names and funny things, they get a little curious, a little more interested, and it's cute and it's fun, and it's like, no, that's your penis.
Yeah.
And this is its purpose. This is why you have one.
Yeah, and so I think naturally some of those things will come up and you can start having some of those conversations.
If they're 14 and you're like, I'm still waiting, it's too late, bro.
You know, I even think within that, like, I don't like this idea of explaining to a kid how to have sex. You know what I mean? So when people say the birds and the bees, like, how do I explain to my kids, you know, what that means, like what that looks like? I don't think that you need to explain this is how this happens and this goes there and this does. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that.
And I have not had that crazy explicit conversation about that with my kids.
But
either.
I can't even see an age. Like, I wouldn't want to have that conversation at 14 because I wouldn't want my kid to be like, oh, cool. Now I know how to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, to answer your question, emailer, 4 to 5 years old, no. I mean, that's way too young to start having that birds and the bees conversation. You know, I feel if you are affectionate with your bride and your kid has an understanding that you love your wife and how you treat your wife, the greatest example they have is the way you treat your spouse. And so if they want to know about girls and how to treat a girl, you show them through your love for your bride how to treat a lady. And so that's what I would say.
Yeah.
So
we've got an important question online
too,
it looks
all right.
Like.
Static.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I've got a question. I've got a girl in our youth ministry who has just recently lost her second brother to suicide.
Oh, man.
Within a 5-year time frame. And she's the type of girl that whenever something like this happens, or just, I guess, anything bad or tragic happens, she kind of distances herself.
Yeah.
And from what I'm gathering, she tries to... I guess just pretend it never happened, and that's her way of coping with it.
Huh.
And it's been a couple of weeks since I've seen her last, but, you know, it's only a matter of time before she comes back. And I'm just wondering if it's something that me and my wife should wait until she approaches us, or we wait for the opportune moment, or do we seek her out and try and help her through this? And then if I do that, like, where do I even begin?
Are you would you say you're the overseeing, like, pastor or her youth pastor, youth leader? Like, are you in a position where you are her authority in that situation, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear first.
You know, I think that it would be good to seek her out and sit down and try to comfort her and talk to her. And what she might need right now isn't even explanations or reasons. She might just need someone to sit down and listen to her and talk to her and let her know, hey, we love you. We're here for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you just need someone to talk to, just cry with, we're here. One thing that I always say, at funerals in general, but suicide's no different, is that even if you had a reason of why she did that, it wouldn't help. Reasons don't heal broken hearts, but resources do.
Yeah.
And there's things that we know, promises we can stand under the Bible, and that gives comfort. You know, reasons don't give comfort. So one thing that I always tell people who have lost a loved one to suicide is, first of all, that as human beings, we're not judged on one bad decision that we make in life. We're judged on the one right decision we make to accept or reject Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And by no means is suicide the unforgivable sin. So I always want people to understand and preface this that, just because someone committed suicide doesn't mean they're automatically in hell.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if they committed suicide, that everyone goes to heaven. That's not what I'm advocating at all. But I'm saying that if someone had a sincere walk and a love for Jesus Christ, and they went through an extreme bout of depression, and through that temptation, they got overcome by that temptation and they committed suicide, but they were a true believing Christian, you know, I 100% believe they're in heaven. Because we're not judged on the individual sins we commit in our lives. If we've been washed by the blood of Christ, that's what we're judged on. And so I think that there's comfort in that. But in the same breath, there can be an element, on the equal end of some depression in that situation. Because if someone took their lives and they weren't a believing Christian, then they, you know, again, stopped their life short of an opportunity that could have come down the road where they could have heard the gospel and accepted Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always the element, especially, I experience this when I've talked to kids who have been believing Christians and they had a brother or sister take their lives and their brother or sister wasn't a Christian, because they feel a sense of guilt saying, I should have spent more time telling them about the love of Christ. It was my responsibility that they were going to go to heaven, and they committed suicide and they never accepted Christ, and it's my fault they didn't accept Christ. And so there's going to be an element of wanting to be responsible for their salvation. But in that situation, we need to understand that each and every one of us are responsible for the decision that we make to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And we also have to understand the Bible says that we're judged on what we know, on what we've been, you know, on the knowledge that we have. And so we have to trust that God is a just God within that, and that, we're not responsible, to see people, accept Christ. Now, obviously we're responsible to share the love of Christ and to share the gospel, but their salvation isn't dependent, on who we are. And if we try to make it dependent on who we are, then we're trying to elevate ourselves to a status and a level of God, saying that we're responsible for their salvation. It just really depends on, who this girl's, it was her sister, you said, right?
Brother,
her sister. So it really
and this
just
is the
depends.
Second brother that she's lost the same way?
Yeah.
Man, so it really just depends on where her brother was at in life. What as far as how to approach it and talk to her, it depends on who her brother was and where he was at.
And I definitely think you need to approach it, especially knowing that she has two siblings that she has lost to the same thing. If she is right now in a state of depression and isolating herself, I would definitely seek her out in that situation, because we're talking about someone who, potentially, of course, because the jury's out scientifically, whether it's passed through, your family, depression and these things. But if her family has a history of depression and she's lost two siblings to suicide, you definitely don't want to just kind of let her go be off by herself doing her own thing. Kind of hanging out in her thoughts. You be that shoulder, that comfort, and absolutely insert yourself in that situation and be that the person that she can depend upon and rely on as a human.
Yeah. Now that's something that I've considered. And I've known that that's the approach that I should take. My only concern was that even with her own family, she distances herself whenever they try to work through these things.
Yeah.
And my fear was that if I try to approach her and, like, not really force her to deal with it, but just, like, in bringing it up, she's going to kind of stiff-arm us, too, and then distance herself from the group.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. As her youth pastor, you're the only one who knows how she's going to respond to that. Better than we do, better than, you know, a lot of people do. You're going to be able to have the best gauge of, you know, how to approach her and what to say to her. Definitely yeah. She needs people around her who love Christ and who can comfort her. Yeah. But how that comfort's going to come and how to approach her, that's got to be something that as her youth pastor and as someone who knows her, you've got to really judge that and figure out what way to approach that situation.
Yeah.
You know, because each person's different. I can tell you, you know, what I've said to people, but people are different, and how you're going to say it to her is going to be a different way than how I've ever said it to anyone else.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we are out of time for Shock Therapy Live. If you missed any part of the show, you can podcast it at mystaticradio.com. We'll see you again next week.
Bye.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.